Coming up, I'm going to reveal three ways to boost your income right now. And then, higher unemployment is the script for the Fed to take on inflation. We're going to unpack this nonsensory and coach you up. Coaching you to have the competitive edge to make more money and experience more meaning in your work. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. It's free coaching, and it is going to help you out as you look to navigate choppy waters, boring, calm waters, to be able to advance to where you want to be in your life. And our goal is more money, more meaning, enjoying Mondays, and we can get you there. Three ways to boost your income right now. Well, let's just talk about the fact that we are in this certainly topsy-turvy, I'd call it choppy economy. On one hand, wages are at an all-time high. We're going to talk more about that in this program. Boy, have I come loaded to help these people today, Alex. I mean, I need a chalkboard. I need an apple. I mean, I'm going to teach it today. I'm going to break it down. Because our so-called leaders are imbeciles. And I'm going to talk about it. Monetary policy. It's not politics. I'm just going to talk monetary policy and how it affects you and what do you do about it. Well, we're leading today's show to talk about, okay, I need to make more money right now because inflation is real. I mean, let's just talk about gas and groceries. If we just look at two items right now, gas is up, groceries are up, and that hits the household budget as hard as anything else. So I just want to coach you up as your coach on, okay, Ken, I need to make more income right now. And while we are in this topsy-turvy, kind of a choppy situation, understand this. The environment is still very good for those of you who need to boost your income. Let's break it down. Three ways. But first, Bank of America has found that Gen Z customers, this is young people that are in the workforce up to age 25, have seen a 19.9% pay increase over the past year. Of course they have, because they've got new jobs coming into the economy out of college, and they're getting paid really, really well. Okay. Or they are upgrading from the first job they got out of college. So those that are upgrading are getting huge bumps. Why? Because of the need for workers. That's double the 9.2% average increase the bank found workers overall experienced between May 21 and April 22. So this young group, bottom line, is they're getting their chance. There's an opportunity, and they're going, woohoo, let's do it. It's extraordinary. Millennials, these are workers ages 26 to 41, far exceed the average wage gains, ranking in an 11.3% pay jump on average. And again, just historically, annual pay increases for somebody who stays at a company and is kind of rewarded for their performance or loyalty is in that 3 to 5%. So you look at 11% pay jump for millennials, that's extraordinary. Now, why the difference? Millennials are making more than Gen Z. So a 19% increase is reflected on A, they're in that lower wage category. And then when they get a nice bump, that's why the 19.9% versus 11.3. Why do I point that out? Because it's important to understand that we are in the hottest salary job economy that we've ever seen in this country, as far as the rapidity, how rapid the increases have happened. And it's a big part of inflation. More on that later in the program. So here's how you make income, more income right now. Like, we've got an urgency, Ken. I need to make more money right now, whatever the reason is. Paying off debt. Buying a car for a 16-year-old. Jeez, that's what I got to do. You know, I mean, like, whatever life is thrown at you. Roof issues. Huh. Got some roof issues, Joe. It's killing me, man. Whatever your issue is. I need more income. Hey, I need education. I got to pay for it. Whatever your issue is, here we go. Number one, step into another role. You have to look at this realistically. Now, I'm going to give you some guardrails. Okay, because we have a lot of people who said, all right, Ken, man, it's hot out there. I can get paid 15%, 20% more. I took a call on a show the other day. Guy's got a job offer. He's happy where he is. I started breaking it down for him. What kind of pay bump? He said, double my salary. I mean, this is real. All right. Now, before we consider making another move to another company, which, by the way, stepping into another role for another company, let's just be very clear, that's your greatest opportunity for a large bump. Or we could say the best opportunity for the greatest increase in your income is, no question, moving from company ABC to company XYZ. But we should also point out, a promotion within your existing company is another way to get a good chunk of a bump. Certainly promotion into a supervisory role or leadership role, manager role, that's a big way to get a bump. So that's what we got to look at. That's what we're talking about when stepping into another role. Now here's the caution, the guardrails. Does it advance me down the road I want to be on? It is possible for you to get a promotion, and with that, whether that's outside your current company or within your current company, it is possible to get a promotion with a fatter paycheck, but it doesn't actually give you any progress down the road you want to go down. And thus the confusion and frustration that eventually we get these calls. Oh, I took a job, Ken. I got a promotion. I'm not happy. What do I do? So again, have the maturity as you're looking to go, I want to look for a bigger paycheck, but I also want to make progress on the path to fulfilling work where the pay is more and so is the meaning. This is key. Number two, I need income now, Ken. All right, part-time job. Again, we're looking at all of the reasons that would create a need for you to get more income in the door right now. Okay, part-time job. All right, now let me make this as personal as I can. I don't need to do this. I'm blessed to be able to have an emergency fund to take care of the roofing crap I'm dealing with. But let's say that I don't have an emergency fund, or my emergency fund isn't large enough to cover the issue, and I don't want to go into debt for it. I don't have much margin, but I've got a $5,000 expense that I can't afford right now, and I need income right now. That this is an example. What am I going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, Alex. I know that there are restaurants and delivery jobs and all kinds of retail jobs. I'm going to get one of those things part-time, and I'm going to do it until I come up with the $5,000. I'm going to bust it. The third way to make income right now, and I'll tell you, this is the third option because the right now, it's not always a guarantee with this option, but the option is start your own side hustle. So in this situation, we're not going to try to invent some product. That ain't going to get you anything right now other than headaches and scars and scabs. But, you know, if I can, you know, start my own side hustle that's with some existing company and it's just a function of getting going and they've got customers or I've got stuff going and I could sell it right now. So this needs to be realistic that it can generate revenue and income right now. So those are your three ways. And here's the deal. Your income will always grow as you grow. Remember this. So make sure that you are looking at, am I putting a lid on myself? Am I looking to grow professionally in the right way? This is the Ken Coleman Show. What if I told you by this time next year, you could be in your dream tech job, even if you're starting from scratch? That's possible with Bethel Tech. Bethel Tech's online bootcamp offers the most up-to-date tech training in just 9 months, with flexible scheduling options. I'm talking high-paying fields like software development, UX, UI design, data science, and cybersecurity. And right now, Bethel Tech will give you $1,000 off your tuition. Go to betheltech.net/Ken Coleman to get started. That's betheltech.net/Ken Coleman. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled to have you with us. The job search, folks, is quite frankly very frustrating and lonely. It's why a lot of people stay longer than they should stay. That's why I endorse ZipRecruiter. I want you to go check out ZipRecruiter. It is a free service. And it is a wildly effective service. It's another arrow to put in your quiver as you think about moving on. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, free to you. And once you sign up a profile, they begin automatically pitching you, pushing you to companies who pay them to get leads. So this is like Zip's going, hey, I think you should look at Fred. I think you should look at Linda. And if the company goes, I'm interested in Linda, ZipRecruiter goes, hey, Linda, company XYZ is interested in you. Go ahead and click the button, send your resume and apply, and we're going to start the process. And you're living your life. ZipRecruiter.com/Ken, ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. All right. Let's get to it. I got a couple stories. Yeah, I'm very excited. I was like, what am I doing next? And I was like, wait, I got stories right here. And I'm fired up about this. Let's get to it. It's time in the news. Okay, so this story coming from my friends from Daily Wire. Oh, that's nice. Got a Daily Wire article in the mix today. These are my friends here in Nashburg. Expect higher unemployment as Federal Reserve tackles inflation, warns top policymaker. All right, now I'm going to attempt to get through this, Alex, without a total tirade. So here we go. Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller warned recently that efforts from the central bank to tackle inflation would produce higher unemployment. Fed policymakers announced, obviously, a new interest rate hike. 75%. Big, big, bold move. They said at a conference in Dallas at the end of last week that this tightening could drive unemployment to 4.25%. Now we're at 3.6% right now. Yes, you are hearing me correctly. These boneheads think that the best way to fight inflation is to drive unemployment up. Think about that for a second. More on that in a second. In a moment, shall we say. The Federal Open Market Committee, which handles the central bank's monetary policy interventions, has a dual mandate to maximize employment while keeping inflation low. Historically, there's a trade-off between the two goals. This is true, but again, an example of horrible government mismanagement. Shouldn't be a trade-off. More on that in a moment. The trade-off is low unemployment is usually associated with higher inflation and high inflation associated with low unemployment. So, what do they think they got to do? Well, they think, look, by raising interest rates and making the cost of business more expensive for everybody, we got to push people into unemployment. And then when we push people into unemployment, it's going to affect consumer spending. That's how this all goes. And then the demand isn't there, theoretically. And then companies lower prices. Second story. All tied together. Larry Summers, former U.S. Treasury Secretary, I believe under Obama, that's correct. Yes, thank you very much, has come out and said, and this is a CBS MarketWatch article, there needs to be a surge in unemployment to curb inflation. I mean, comes right out and just says on all these news shows, look, we got to drive unemployment up. Is anybody else listening to what I'm saying? They think that driving people out of their jobs, a sense of security, a sense of belonging, that driving people out of their jobs to the tune of millions, wait for it. This is what this bonehead said. Larry Summers, in a speech, said, there needs to be a lasting period of higher unemployment to contain inflation. A one-year spike to 10% unemployment, 2 years of 7.5% unemployment, or 5 years of 6% unemployment. Let me remind you where we stand right now. 3.6% unemployment. So this bonehead thinks that 5 years of double of where we are now of the unemployment rate is what's needed to curb inflation. He said, this is specifically what he said, folks. that the unemployed rolls need to swell to roughly 16 million from just under 6 million right now. Now let's just stop. This is monetary policy that we just casually share on news shows. We're going to unemploy, or the hope is to unemploy 10 million people. All right, so let's just stop. And Alex, this is where I need my chart that we talked about. Because right now, we have about 4 to 5 million jobs that are currently available that people can't fill, because we have over 11 million jobs. I'm using round numbers here to prove a point quickly. We have over 11 million jobs open and about 8 million people unemployed. So these boneheads think, well, let's drive up interest rates and we hope it creates more unemployment. And so let's just say, for discussion purposes, that we put 4 or 5 million people over the next 3 or 4 months into the unemployment line. Well, they're going to go work somewhere, or you're going to keep driving up unemployment benefits. Where are they going to get the money? They're going to go get hired somewhere. Well, now all of a sudden you've got this huge gap between jobs available and people unemployed, but those people unemployed need the jobs. So you're going to go get the jobs. Is it really going to drive inflation down? I'm not seeing it. Because what really drives inflation, and yes, when there is a hot job market like there is now, people are competing for talent and it does drive wages up. And yes, driving wages up is passed on to the consumer. That's all true. But there are two other factors at play that are causing this huge surge in inflation that the government ought to try to do something about, but ultimately the private sector will shake it out. And let's get clear on this. During the pandemic, the supply chain was severely disrupted. A, the manufacturing, like look at the cost of used cars. It's nothing to do with the interest rate. It has everything to do with the chips, not making new cars. Supply chain of building materials. What did that do? That slowed down housing starts. Folks, I'm an idiot, and I understand this. I'm serious. I can't do a math problem to save my life, but I understand this. How is it these government leaders think that driving people to unemployment rolls is going to pull down? No, what we need to fix is a supply chain. What we need to fix is housing starts and manufacturing starts through rewarding economic policies and corporate tax rates and things like that to get corporate America and the global corporate structure moving again. Groceries and gas are high because of supply chain and manufacturing issues, and gas is high because of the exclusivity in the oil industry. I don't care what your politics are. You want to see your gas go down? Tell your congressman, tell your senator that you want to drill for more oil in the U.S. But this kind of asinine monetary policy is misguided, and it's not going to help. It's like saying, look, I know gas costs are high, so maybe you should buy an electric car. Anybody want to venture a guess on what the average cost of an electric car is? You know what it is? I know what it is because I came prepared. $60,000. Okay, let's also, the average American family is going to go into debt for $60,000 to be able to save a couple bucks at the pump. Folks, let your voice be heard. These people don't know what they're doing. All right, folks, it is time for our coaching session where we coach you up if you are stuck in a very, very nasty situation. We'd like to hear from you because I know that you can't think of the next. You just go, how do I get out of this in the now? I got financial pressures. I got to have a check. I'm in this situation, gossipy, toxic coworkers, awful bully boss, but I'm afraid. And when you're afraid and confused, you need a coach. And so we'd really love to help you out. We'll change your name, location, industry, everything to make it totally out of the world that you're in to protect your privacy. But we'd love to help you. Ask at kencoleman.com is the email address, and we'll set it up. Nick is up next in San Antonio, Texas. Nick, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Really great to talk to you. It's thanks so much for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
Yeah, so a couple things. I'm currently an insurance agent for a financial institution, and I have to say the company I'm at right now, the benefits are wonderful and amazing. The thing is, I don't really like the work. I mean, I've gotten pretty good at it. I've done it for a couple years. Long story short, it's not what I meant. It's not what I'm put on this earth to do. Hate getting up, hate, you know, going in every Monday. I'm having a hard time sleeping, and it's just affecting relationships and activities outside of work as well. I just know that there's gotta be more to it than this. I've been kind of groomed all my life to think, oh, you go to college, you work a job, and there's no alternative. This is just how life is. And I, part of me wants to agree. Part of me wants to call bull
you don't agree with that anymore. You may have at one point, but now you don't agree. That's why you called me today.
Absolutely. I'm hoping our conversation can help steer me in the right direction.
All right. So what are we driving at? What's the big need that I need to address today?
Essentially, I'm just trying to get some steps to find out exactly what kind of job I was born to do. I have some ideas here for you.
Good. Give me the ideas.
So if I knew I couldn't fail, it would be woodworking and craft business and or YouTuber, content creator. And I have a list of things I'm kind of good at and some hobbies as well, if you want to hear those.
So the woodworking, tell me a little bit more about that. Is that owning your own business or working for somebody? Is it also construction, carpentry, or is it more just specific woodworking? Give me a little bit more detail on that.
Yeah, so I love smaller projects like stovetop covers and key racks, the coffee table my foot's on right now. I made myself. I wish you could see it. Things like that, I used to do some things for Etsy. I sold a few things, but not a whole lot, but, I just love doing it. I just remember a shop class back in seventh grade.
Yeah.
I just could not wait to go to that class every day. And I always thought about it through the years. I love that wood job.
Take me back. Seventh grade. What'd you dream about in the seventh grade as a result of that shop class?
Well, I had a lot of wild ideas about what I wanted to do in seventh grade, but I remember that one class. I remember, man, I wish this was every class. I wish I could get up and go to this wood shop every single class, every single day.
Yeah. And what'd you think about? Tell me, don't you just sidestep that whole question like a politician. What did you dream about as a seventh grader that is related to this woodworking shop stuff? Cause I know you had some ideas. I want to know one or two of them.
Essentially, I'd love to kind of have an online store and sell some woodworking products and kind of have a home base shop where I just get up and work all the time.
Okay, great. So what needs to be true for you to start that on the side right now? Sounds like you kind of already have, but tell me, what needs to be true for you to start that right now?
Yeah, so it's kind of complicated. I mean, I'm currently in an apartment and, you know, no garage space and, you know, there's some, you know, share spaces around town here that I can use and that I have used, once or twice. Essentially just the space and for me to just have the discipline to use my spare time aside from work to focus on that.
Okay. What does spare time look like? What would be productive if I was, you know, planning on investing in you to get you started? And I'd say, all right, how many hours a week do you need to actually work to start creating enough products to then sell online?
Yeah. So I want to say every spare moment I have.
No, that's not realistic. Come on. Now look, Nick, I'm going to start pushing you. All right. Cause
okay.
You need me to push you.
Right.
I want you to answer the question as specifically as you possibly can. Cause there's a reason I'm asking these questions.
Sure.
What is a realistic amount of time that you could give every week right now Is it 5 hours, 10 hours, 8 hours, 15 hours? What is realistic? Not every waking moment. That's not a real answer.
Probably 5 hours.
Great. 5 hours. And how many products could you create each week with the 5 hours? Is it 1, 2, 3, 7, or 12?
Oh man, I could probably do maybe 2 or 3 stovetop covers with just 5 hours.
Okay. So 2 or 3 items. Now, how hot is a customized stovetop cover? Who cares about stovetop covers? I don't know. Do people care about those? Is there a better wood making product that is a little more popular?
There might be a few. I've seen them. I've seen them pretty popular. I wasn't a huge. It was just kind of a side hobby, and I had a few items up there on Etsy, but those were the ones that sold the most.
Okay, great. So you have done a little market research, so that's good. So you know what products tend to be popular online, and you can continue to do more research. Maybe in the 5 hours a week, 4 hours you're making something, and 1 hour you're researching and seeing what's hot out there. What are the hottest wood products out there? And so we're doing a little bit of research, and we're actually doing a little bit of development, right? R&D, baby. Okay?
Right.
So 5 hours a week. So we can start doing that now. And then your second idea at the top of the list, we never got to 2 and 3, but I don't think it matters because I think we really are on what you really want to do. We just got to figure out how to make money on it. But I think you ought to be doing YouTube videos as you're making these products. So figure out a way to get a simple tripod and an iPhone at the simplest possible way to do it. But you can do more fancy if you want to. But start putting your YouTube videos up as you make a product from start to finish.
Right.
Combine both interests.
Right. Yeah. What would you say as far as my current role? So I know...
Stay in it.
I know you just stay in it. Okay.
Or improve it. Because the more money you make in a day job, whether it's the one you're in or you get another one that's a better day job, where you're a little bit more excited, either because it's a better environment or the work is a little bit more enjoyable or the culture is a little bit better, but it's day job anyway.
Right.
But a bigger paycheck helps us buy more supplies. And then you launch this wood making business and you get it going. And every cent you make, you put it back into Wood Making Inc. bank account. And you get 6 months of your income in the bank before you even think about leaving your day job.
Right.
And you generate enough business that you feel like you don't have to touch that reserve in Wood Making Inc. bank account. And you can make most of what you're making now in a month and hopefully never touch that reserve. But this is a math equation. When that wood making business is generating enough to take care of you, that's when you walk and you go full time.
Right.
How old are you?
I'll be 28 this year, so I'm 27.
You married?
No.
This is the time, my man. You're 28. You talk about the most risk-free moment of your life, 28 and single, no kids. Dude, get after it. You don't need a house to be able to do this. Go find a place. Go find a shop. Here's an idea. I'm just asking you to consider as an option to what I just gave you. How about you go work for an old guy who's a woodworker, has got a nice business, he needs another set of hands. How about giving him your 5 hours a week and learn from a master craftsman? You could quit in 6 months, quit after 6 weeks if it's not driving the value. But I'd consider that too.
Right.
You want to be a craftsman. Best way to become a craftsman is to work for a craftsman.
Right.
You got this. My work is done here, pal. That's what we're doing. Best day job possible to bring in the most money possible, to be able to invest in yourself through the side hustle. I think you actually ought to take 6 weeks and work for an old guy before you start this thing. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like the Dr. John Deloney Show. Mental health challenges and hurting relationships happen to everyone, but they don't have to define you. I'm Dr. John Deloney, and I help people navigate through the messy things in their lives on the Dr. John Deloney Show. I'll walk alongside you as you face parenting, marriage, and other relationship challenges, and I'll walk alongside you as you try to connect with people, as you face depression, overcome anxiety, and learn how to change your life. Listen, I want you to be well. Listen to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.